It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levenier. In this hour, drama. Later on, we hear the story Kid Galahad on the Theater of Romance. But right now, it's an adaptation of the 1948 motion picture Saigon, which originally starred Veronica Lake and Alan Ladd. We'll hear Ladd in this next adaptation, broadcast on NBC on July 29th, 1949.
Directors Playhouse, production Saigon, director Leslie Fenton, star Alan Ladd.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present an interlude of adventure, Saigon, starring Alan Ladd, and introducing the director of the film, Leslie Fenton. By and large, a motion picture has three main elements: the story and the cast, and the creative force which welds them into exciting entertainment. We mean, of course, the screen director, represented here tonight by a distinguished actor who turned to the creating of such fine films as Whispering Smith, The Streets of Laredo, and tonight's story, Saigon. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Leslie Fenton.
Thank you. Few places seem as remote from these United States as Saigon, a metropolis buried in the tip of French Indochina. There's a strange romantic flavor in the very sound of the name, and a certain strange glamour. Here's the raw material of adventure, and the story you're about to hear is an adventure film for adventure's sake. Now listen to it for the first time on the air, starring Alan Ladd in his original role of Larry Briggs. Saigon.
Mr. Briggs, if a police officer may speak his mind, you will find Indochina hospitable, but only to a point. There are evil men, Mr. Briggs, who found the war profitable. Now, some of these men consider my country a safe hiding place. It is not, Mr. Briggs. It is not.
This is you he's talking to, Larry Briggs. How did you get into this? Saigon? The girl? The briefcase? Who started it? The war was over. You were discharged from the Air Corps. You and Mike Perry and Pete Rocco. You were in Shanghai at the base hospital talking to the surgeon. That's when it started. With the surgeon talking about Mike.
I'm sorry, Major Briggs. 2 to 3 months at the longest.
Does Mike know?
No, not yet.
What a mess. What a stinking, rotten mess. All that pain, 6 months of slicing and patching. For this.
He'll appear perfectly normal, but the brain tissues have been irreparably damaged.
Doc, do me a favor, will you?
If I can.
Let us tell him. Sergeant Rocco and I. We're his friends, you know. We can... Well... You know.
I understand.
And don't say I was here. Tell him I phoned that I wanted him to meet us at the Jade Cafe.
Very well. One more thing. It's 3 months at the most. Any physical or emotional shock would shorten his time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll remember. Figure it out, Pete. Figure it out. Why does it have to be like this?
How are we going to tell him?
We're not.
Huh? But, Larry, you told the doctor...
Nobody tells him. And, Pete, we're going to pack those 2 or 3 months of his with 100 years of good living. The best. No rough spots.
Larry,
and no
Pete.
Bumps.
Here he comes.
Well, how are you, Mike?
Swell, not even a headache, are you, Skipper?
It's about time you stopped lying around in bed.
Some picnic I had, huh? And when are we going home?
We aren't, Mike. That is, Pete and I aren't.
What? You're wacky.
No, look, the Skip and I, we got a flying job lined up in the Orient.
Want to cut yourself in, Mike?
I got an awful yen to go home.
Oh, look, it's just a couple of months, Mike, and good money.
Uh-oh, 5 o'clock. I've got an appointment with Alex Maris to close that flying deal. Think about it, Mike. Work on him, Pete. Work hard.
Please sit down, Mr. Briggs. Mr. Maris will see you in a moment.
Thanks. Are you Maris's wife?
I'm Mr. Maris's secretary.
Oh. He has a beautiful home here. You fit in very well.
Yes. Doesn't she, Mr. Briggs? Miss Cleaver is one of my most tasteful accoutrements. You may leave us, Susan.
We've decided to make your fight, Mr. Maris. If the price is right, of course.
$10,000?
What are we doing, smuggling rubies?
A simple business trip, Mr. Briggs. Now as to your instructions. Be ready to take off for Saigon at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. And I mean 6 p.m., Mr. Briggs. Not 1 minute later.
6 p.m. you're paying for? 6 p.m. you'll get.
That does it. Get him.
Ha-ha, brother, does she purr. Yee-hee, we're going flying again, Mike.
The things I'll let you guys talk me into.
Come on. Go to where Maris is. It's after 6 o'clock already. This light isn't going to hold forever.
He's probably making time with that mouse you told us about. You know, that secretary.
This is probably him driving up now.
Mr. Briggs. Mr. Maris will be a bit delayed.
The mouse. Well, what do you know?
Hey, Larry, she's pretty. Introduce us, huh?
Huh? Susan Cleaver, Mike Perry, and Pete Rocco.
Delighted.
Hello.
One of you please put my bags aboard.
Miss Cleaver, we're flyers, not servants.
It's all right, Larry. I'll take them.
No, not the briefcase. Leave that with me.
Hey, what's holding up your boss?
That's his car horn. He'll be here immediately. Mr. Maris!
Mr. Maris seems to be having his problems.
It's like old home week on Guadalcanal.
Mike, turn him over.
Okay, Skipper.
Hey, what's the hurry?
Those sound like police bullets.
So?
So we can't afford to get mixed up with cops, not with Mike alone.
You can't leave?
It's after 6, Miss Cleaver. We're leaving on schedule.
No, not without Alex.
Want to come?
You can't leave.
Such loyalty. She'll go down in history with the Saint Bernard.
You can't go without him. I won't let you.
Are you going or staying? Make up your mind.
I'll go.
Welcome aboard, Miss Cleaver. We made a deal to fly to Saigon at 6, and we're keeping it. I'll fly her for a while, Mike.
Hey, Larry, don't you think you're being kind of rough on the girl?
She hasn't been a personality kid with us either.
Oh, she's okay.
All right, she's wonderful. And I'll bet there's something wonderful in that briefcase, too. The way she keeps hanging on to it.
Hey, Larry, there must be a gas leak. We've been dropping fuel ever since we took off. I don't think we'll make Saigon.
Mike, there's an emergency field up the river from Saigon at Ling Dao.
Ling Dao? Hey, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, there's a European hotel. I was there once.
Okay, all the course to 163, Larry.
I got you.
Yeah, some hotel. Looks like it fought the war personally.
Yes, please. You wish rooms?
Yeah, 4 rooms.
Please sign. So sorry. It is ruled no baggage, must pay in advance.
We got baggage. We left it in the plane.
No baggage, must pay in advance.
Forgive me for intruding, but the guests do have baggage. I see the young lady has a briefcase.
Who's this guy? A red cap?
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lieutenant Keon.
Army?
Unhappily, a policeman.
We're honored.
My pleasure. Good day.
Sir, could you please show me my room?
I'll go back to the pine for your things, Susan. See you later, fellas.
Well, it looks like Mike's fallen for the mouse.
Dame like that, he's sure to get hurt.
Hey, that cop. He was awful interested in her briefcase.
A girl we don't know? Cops, bullets, that briefcase of hers.
Well, so what? That's her business. The mouse gets into trouble? Tough luck.
We all came here together, Pete. We might be part of that bad luck. So I think the time has come for the mouse and I to talk to many.
Briggs, would you please get out of my room?
Not yet, Susie. I'd like to see that briefcase.
Get out!
Don't make me take it away from you.
No!
All right. Have it your way.
Give it back!
Now, let's see what's so important.
Now, you've seen. It's Mr. Maris's money.
$1,000 bills. There must be half a million here.
Doesn't concern you.
10,000 of it does. That was our agreement. As for the rest, I'll make a deal with you, Susie. There's a river boat leaving for Saigon in the morning. I want you to get out of our lives tonight. Go aboard. You do that, Susie, and I'll mail the briefcase in your name to Saigon. General delivery.
You thief! I won't. I won't do it.
You'll do it. This briefcase means too much to you. Night, Susie girl.
Ah, Mr. Briggs.
Lieutenant Keon.
Merely inspecting your accommodations. We want you to be comfortable, Mr. Briggs.
Are the police always this helpful to tourists?
What we gain with solicitude, we usually lose with bluntness. May I see that briefcase? Thank you. So, you must be a wealthy man, Mr. Briggs.
Yeah, I ran a used car business back in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
So much money. I wonder where it really came from. Mr. Briggs, if a police officer may speak his mind, you will find Indochina hospitable, but only to a point. There are evil men, Mr. Briggs, who found the war profitable. Now, some of these men may consider my country a safe hiding place. It is not, Mr. Briggs. It is not.
Screen Director's Playhouse production of Saigon, starring Alan Ladd and introduced by the director of the film, Mr. Leslie Fenton. Now, back to our Screen Director's production of Saigon, starring Alan Ladd.
I can't find Susan anywhere. She's left the hotel. She's disappeared.
Mike, forget her. She walked out on us.
What have you guys got against her? She hasn't done anything. She... Ah, forget it.
Yeah. Some mishmash we got him into.
That isn't all. We only flew into Indochina in a plane that might be stolen for all we know. We were hired by a guy with all the earmarks of being on the wrong side of the law. We have no legitimate reason for being here. And to top it off, Keon tagged me with Susan's briefcase. Pete, we've got to beat it out of here and try to get lost in Saigon until we straighten this thing out.
Well, we can't fly. That plane has a sieve for a gas tank.
A riverboat is leaving for Saigon in the morning.
The one with the mouse aboard?
Yeah. We're going to make plans for the mouse and the man, Pete. I kind of think Mike is going to be a lot happier with her than without her. May I come in?
Briggs, what are you doing
the
on...
The boys and I are taking a little river voyage for our health, Susie.
But you said you were...
I changed my mind. And I'm changing our deal. The briefcase was mailed to Saigon this morning. But in my name, not yours.
You heel.
No, take it easy. You'll get it back. But supposing you play ball.
What is it this time?
Be nice to Mike.
Oh, now, isn't that sweet?
Mike's fond of you, Susan. He's a good kid.
I'm touched.
Try to be nice. Even for you, it must be worth $500,000.
You know all the answers, don't you? All right, I'll be nice to Mike. But if it was you, there wouldn't be enough money in the world.
Some scow this is. And Mike thinks it's a cruise to Havana.
He's as happy as a kid who found his lost pocket knife.
Ah, love. I wish I had a mouse. I wish I had a mouse. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter?
We got company. Cop company.
Mr. Briggs and Mr. Rocco. How fortunate we should be traveling together.
A pleasure, Lieutenant. Now, if you'll pardon.
You left the village rather unexpectedly, gentlemen.
The pressure of business. You understand.
I do not, Mr. Briggs. When we arrive at Saigon, your entire party will be held for inquiry.
I see. And how long will that take?
Justice in the Orient, Mr. Briggs, is sure but sluggish. A month or two, perhaps less, perhaps more.
Look, Keon, we haven't got a month or two. We don't know the whole story ourselves. But we might be able to find out in Saigon. If you leave us free to operate.
But what if you should leave Saigon?
The police will see that we don't.
Yes, I'm afraid so, Mr. Briggs. Well, what have I to lose?
Yeah, sure. It's like playing cards with a stacked deck.
A very apt metaphor, Mr. Rocco. Good day, gentlemen.
Well, if it isn't the amazing Mr. Briggs. All alone and mooning at the moonlight.
Hello, Susan.
Larry, I want to say something. That money, I don't know anything about it. Alex Maris asked me to carry it. The shots. I don't understand it.
Okay, Susan.
I've acted pretty awful, I guess. I'm sorry.
You've got an apology coming, too, you know.
Larry, this business with Mike. It isn't fair to him. It isn't right.
He's crazy about you.
That's because he doesn't know what I'm like.
And what are you like?
Like this.
Susan, I'm going to tell you about Mike. He was wounded during the war. The doctors say he has only a little while to live. He doesn't know.
Oh.
Go and find him, Susan. It's kind of nice here on the river. Tomorrow we'll be in Saigon.
Hey, Larry. Come on out here on the balcony. Some city, this Saigon. Oh, it even looks good at night. Ah, man, this is luxury. Classy hotel, plenty of dough.
They call it the Paris of the Orient, Pete.
Think I'll take a walk. Want to come along?
Yeah, only to the door, though. I've got a few things I want to talk over with Susan.
She's a funny mouse. Can't figure her.
She's doing a fine job, Pete.
Yeah. There's her room across the hall. Well, night, Skipper.
Good night, Pete.
Who is it?
It's Larry. Susan, I just wanted to tell you, I'm grateful for all you've done for Mike.
It's all right, forget it.
You've worked wonders for him.
You better go, Larry.
There's one more thing.
Yes?
It's about Maris. All of us are in trouble with the police, Susan, because of the money. Only Maris knows the truth about it. I've got to know if he arrives in Saigon. And there's a chance he will if he's free.
A very good chance, Mr. Briggs. Welcome to Saigon.
Maris. Do you always give your greetings with a gun?
I regret it quite as much as you. But you have the key to certain funds that belong to me. I resent that, Mr. Briggs. And quite as much I resent the fact that you and your crew have been forcing your attentions upon Susan.
You make a lovely couple together.
Susan and I have had a long talk about the money. We understand each other, don't we, Susan?
I think we do, Alex.
It is too bad about the young, well, what's his name, Mike?
Mike. What about him?
I went to his room to question him. He became quite uncontrollable. I was forced to strike him with my gun butt.
You yellow gun having...
Mr. Briggs.
He's sick. Any shock can kill him.
Unfortunate. Now, it appears that my money is in the Saigon post office in your name. Therefore, we will wait in your room until morning when you will get it for me.
Alex, if we're leaving in the morning, I'd better get some sleep.
Sweet dreams, Susie.
They will be. Now that I don't have to look forward to holding the infant's hot little hand.
All right, Mr. Briggs. Into your room. A long night, isn't it, Mr. Briggs?
Maris, I promise you. If you've killed Mike, I...
Mr. Briggs, it's Lieutenant Keon.
Who is he?
The police.
Tell him to come in. And remember this gun.
Come in, Lieutenant.
I... Oh, you have a guest.
Lieutenant Keon, this is...
Mr. Chanuk. Carl Chanuk.
A pleasure. Mr. Briggs, I thought we might compare notes. You see, I've gleaned a few scraps of information. For instance, I know your plane was owned by a Mr. Alex Maris of Shanghai. Pardon me, Mr. Chanuk, if I bore you with these few business details.
Not at all. Go right on, Lieutenant.
Maris is wanted by the Shanghai police as a war profiteer and collaborator. Now, Mr. Briggs, about our arrangement, what have you to tell me?
Nothing, Lieutenant. Nothing at all.
Pity.
Hey, Larry, I was just out with the cutest...
Oh, company, huh?
Pete, we're busy.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to tell you about the new mouse I met. She's the cutest thing I...
Hey, here's Susie.
I've brought you a present, Mr. Maris.
Susan, go back to your room.
Your money, Alex. The price of treachery.
Shut up.
Oh, Lieutenant Keon. I want to thank you for having the postmaster open the post office.
You blonde Judas, I will kill you for that.
Let's get him, Pete.
Okay, skip.
Death interferes so frequently with justice. Mr. Maris is no more.
Susan, are you all right?
Look. Pete.
Pete? He's not moving. Pete. Pete.
I regret, Mr. Briggs, that you must learn this in such unfortunate surroundings at my office.
You phoned the hospital.
Mike Perry is dead. He passed away within a few minutes of Mr. Rocco.
Oh, Larry.
Mike, Pete, both gone.
I made a plan. I was going to let all of you work it out for me. But... it went astray.
I made a plan, too. I was the skipper. They listened to me.
Harry, you mustn't. Don't torture yourself.
What do you do? What do you say?
You finally run out of answers, Larry. Just like the rest of us.
Nothing left. No more answers, Susie.
Maybe. If we try to find them. Maybe if we tried together.
You are both free to leave Saigon whenever you wish.
Come on, Susie. Let's try. The two of us.
Just heard the last act of Saigon. In a moment, our star, Alan Ladd, and our screen director, Leslie Fenton, will return to the microphone. You've seen pictures and read stories about fabulous parties here in Hollywood. Well, take it from me, most of those glamorous affairs are strictly for publicity. When movie stars really entertain, they do it simply and modestly, with a buffet supper consisting of, well, for example, cold cuts, potato salad, and tall, friendly glasses of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Next week on Screen Directors Playhouse, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents Fort Apache, starring John Wayne and Ward Bond. Now, here again is tonight's star, Alan Ladd, and screen director Leslie Fenton.
We spent a lot of hours together on movie sets, Alan. But this is the first time we've ever faced each other across a microphone.
Unless it's a wonderful opportunity to get something off my chest. Brother, am I going to expose you?
Shh, people are listening.
Good. Folks, if it weren't for the Leslie Fentons, for the directors of Hollywood, we actors and actresses wouldn't be, well, we just wouldn't be. It's the people like Les with their skill and experience who literally and figuratively make motion pictures.
See, that's a wonderful compliment, Alan. Thanks. From all the directors.
Good night, Les. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And good night to you, Alan Ladd and Leslie Pepper. Tonight, before you go to bed, peek inside your refrigerator. Check up on your supply of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Remember, tomorrow is the beginning of another lazy weekend. Two whole days to relax and take life easy. Saigon was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is Top of the Morning, starring Bing Crosby, Anne Blythe, and Barry Fitzgerald. Alan Ladd is currently being seen in the Paramount picture The Great Gatsby. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. Listen again next week when Pabst Blue Ribbon presents
Screen Directors Playhouse, production Fort Apache, director John Ford, stars John Wayne, Ward Bond.
Screen Directors Playhouse is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. James Wallington speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Screen Director's Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from July 29th, 1949 on NBC, featuring Alan Ladd reprising his role as Major Larry Briggs. And this broadcast was heard on air just weeks before Ladd's radio series Box 13 would go off of the air. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Theater of Romance with the story Kid Galahad. With Wayne Morris and Claire Trevor, this episode first heard on CBS on January 22nd, 1946.
Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Present Wayne Morris and Claire Trevor as stars of your Theater of Romance from Hollywood. Theater of Romance, brought to you by Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, is proud of its record of presenting stars of the screen in their first Hollywood performances after brilliant war records. Melvin Douglas, Henry Fonda, James Stewart, Robert Taylor, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and others have stepped from uniform to microphone on this very stage. Tonight, we bring you another first. Wayne Morris, whose career is another exciting chapter in the story of Hollywood's response to the demands of war. Wayne Morris returns to civilian life tonight in the Joel Malone, Stanley Rubin adaptation of Warner Brothers' great story, Kid Galahad, the very picture that made him a star. Co-starred with Wayne Morris is lovely Claire Trevor. Here is your play, and here are your stars. The Fight Gong, that familiar signature introducing your favorite sports commentator, Jack McCarthy. Each Tuesday evening at this time, he brings us stories covering little-known facts about well-known figures in the world of sports, and here he is, Jack McCarthy.
Thank you, Tom, and hello, folks. Tonight, I'm going to tell you about Kid Galahad, a young and timid bellhop who became a great heavyweight. It all started right here in New York Hotel, where Nick Donati was giving one of his parties. Things were getting pretty lively, and they'd call downstairs for more ice for the drink.
Yay!
ice, man.
Dana, will you, Fluff?
Sure thing, Nick.
Hello. I brought some ice.
Well, I see you did. All right, bring it in, Sonny.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you better close the door before I lock it.
Oh, what, Fluff? Afraid you'll have some uninvited guests.
Turkey Morgan, what do you think you're doing?
Skip it, will you? You know, maybe Chuck and me like parties, too. Huh? Come on in, Chuck.
So you even brought the St. Bernard.
Sure, it brought me, baby. You know how I like nightlife.
Yeah, I know all about it.
Ah, no, you don't. Not all. You don't know how I feel about you, baby. It's like I was telling Turkey on the way over. I think you're the
Keep
most...
Keep your big hands off me.
Leave her alone, mister.
Huh? You talking to me, punk?
I just told you to leave the lady alone.
Lady? Hey, Turkey, did you hear that? Did you hear who the punk is calling a lady?
You shouldn't talk like that, mister. And you better stop laughing.
Yeah. Well, you crummy little squirt, I'll knock that pretty face of yours to the back of your head.
Wait a minute. What do you think you're doing, huh?
Hey, what's going on?
He was bothering me, Nick. The kid hit him.
Chuck? He knocked out Chuck?
Yeah. And he's going to be sorry for it, too.
Nick, it was Chuck's fault. He was trying
to... Mr. Donati, I'm awful sorry. I hope he isn't a friend of yours.
Friend? Of mine? No, but that don't make no difference. You know who he is?
Not the man who owns the hotel.
No, kid, no. He don't own the hotel. He owns the whole world. At least you'd think so. You see, Chuck McGraw is the heavyweight champion.
What?
Yeah, that's right, kid. And you knocked him colder than them ice cubes.
Oh, yeah, the ice cubes. I guess I better set him down, huh, Mr. Donati?
How do you like that guy?
Hiya, kid.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Donati.
How you feeling?
Fine, sir. That was sure some party you threw last night.
Yeah, and that was some punch you threw last night. Where'd you learn to hit like that?
Oh, back home. We had sort of a boxing club. You know, fellas that worked on a different farm.
Oh, farmer, huh? Well, how'd you like to be a fighter?
A fighter? Well, I never thought much about it.
Oh, you should. Anybody who can flatten a heavyweight champion should do a lot of thinking about it.
Oh, he was drunk, Mr. Donati.
Yes, some, but the main thing is you dropped him with one punch. You got dynamite in that right, kid, and it's weighed plenty of dough.
You think enough to buy a little farm?
Enough to buy a big farm. That is, if you'll take orders from me. Well, how about it?
Okay, Mr. Donati.
But you start taking orders right away.
Yes, sir.
First of all, train in that monkey suit. Tell him you're quitting, not even staying around long enough for him to write out your last paycheck. You see, kid, McGraw and his manager, Turkey Morgan, ain't got very forgiving natures. They'll be after you for what you did last night.
After me?
Yeah, but don't worry about it. We'll hide you out for a while. Now, go get your stuff and be out at the side entrance in 20 minutes. I'll have Fluff and Silver Jackson pick you up in the car. Say, what's your name?
Gweesonberry. Ward Gweesonberry.
Well, we'll have to do something about that, too. But never mind, Gooseberry. Go pack your suitcase. You're on your way to fame.
This sure is a nice car, Silver.
Yeah, it's Nick.
I guess he's made a lot of money, huh?
He's lost a lot, too. Look, Ward, this fight racket is no bed of roses.
No, I guess not, but... If I could make enough to buy a little farm, I could stand a few pokes in the nose.
I guess you're big enough to take them, too.
Then you think I should?
No, I don't. You got all mixed up in this on account of me, and the least I can do is tell you what you're walking into. You're too nice a guy for the fight game. Too much of a Galahad. You'll get thrown into the middle of a rotten life that'll knock those rover boy illusions of yours higher than a kite. Mixed up with crowds like that one last night. They may have looked okay to you. They're not. They're a bunch of fast-living spenders and punch-drunk gunmen. You'll be combing them out of your hair. You're too decent to get mixed up in this sort of life.
Well, it hasn't hurt you any.
Well, thanks, Galahad. You're being awfully... What's the matter, Silver?
I've been watching in the mirror. We're being followed, there's no doubt about it.
Morgan?
Who else?
What does he want?
You. And he isn't playing hide-and-go-seek. How about it, Silver? Can we give him the slip?
We'll head for the edge of town. I can outrun him from there.
Yeah, and then what?
Well, then we'll have to find another place. Any place until Nick... Hey, wait a minute, Fluff.
How about Mrs. Donati's farm?
What? You're talking crazy. Nick would hit the ceiling if we let her fight her within a mile of his mother and sister.
And his sister ain't there. She's still at the convent.
You sure?
Yeah. And I don't think Nick would mind Mrs. Donati meet the next farmer like Ward.
No, maybe not. Anyhow, we haven't any choice. Let's get up there and fast.
Gosh, things are sure happening, aren't they?
I tried to tell you what you're asking for, Galahad. And, brother, this is just a small sample.
You certainly must have a way with women, Ward. Only here 2 days, and even Mother thinks you're wonderful.
So do the chickens.
Yes, including the blonde one who brought you up here.
Marie, did you come out here to start another argument?
Am I annoying you?
Yes. When you talk like that, I wish you hadn't come home. I wish you were back at the convent.
While you're at it, why don't you wish Miss Phillips was here instead?
With a family like yours, I don't know how you could turn out the way you have.
You don't like me.
I think you're a spoiled brat. I think that instead of treating you like a saint, Nick ought to turn you over his knee. He's just too darn nice to you, that's all. If I was him,
I'd... Candid, very candid.
I'll handle the lecture.
Nicky! Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, gosh, this is a nice surprise, Nick. When'd you get here?
About 2 hours after I heard you were here. Only I'm not staying, neither are you.
Huh?
Marie.
Yes, Nick.
Go inside, will you, Bambi? I'll talk to you later.
But I want to stay
Marie.
All right.
Nick, I'm mighty grateful I got a chance to stay at your home.
Yes.
Your mother's been swell to me.
Yeah, I know all about it, kid. Only you better forget them both from now on.
Forget them? Why, I
don't like people hanging around and people in the fight racket.
Oh. Oh, all right, if that's the way you want it.
That's the way I want it, exactly. And it's all part of what I was telling you, kid, about me giving the orders. Now, how about it? Do we still understand one another?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Nick, we understand one another.
Jack, remember the time you brought me the armful of pink carnations?
Uh-huh. Your birthday, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was on our honeymoon. You said you'd remember every minute of it, but you sure forgot to remember.
It might be a different story if this young wife remembered to use Colgate tooth powder. Because though she doesn't suspect it, a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, has caught up with her. That breath of trouble has brought unhappiness to many a wife and husband. Don't let it mark you down. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And when it comes to cleansing, money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better or quicker than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Now, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo bring you the second act of Kid Galahad, starring Wayne Morris and Claire Trevor. Now, back to your sports commentator, Jack McCarthy, as he resumes his story about Kid Galahad.
Yes, Kid Galahad. They finally dubbed him with that moniker. And the kid went great guns. Nick even had to hold him in a little so the public wouldn't demand a match with Champ McGraw before Galahad was really ready. But despite all this, the kid acted kind of low. The truth is, he was lovesick. He finally called on Fluff at the nightclub where she sang to get it off his chest.
Well, Galahad, how do you like my home away from home?
Oh, it's a nice place, Fluff. I guess I'm just not much of a nightclub man.
Ah, still dreaming of that farm, huh?
You know I am. And the girl to go with it, Fluff. That's what I came to see you about.
Galahad.
Yeah. Ever since we met, you know, you've always told me where I stood.
I'm ready to tell you again, Galahad. To tell you anything. Come on. Just ask me.
Okay. Well, the fact is, I'm in love.
Well, is that bad, kid? I think it's a wonderful condition to be in.
Yeah, I suppose it is for others, but for me, well, I'm kind of on the spot. You see, the girl I'm in love with is Marie Donati.
Marie Donati?
Yeah, and you know how Nick's going to feel about that. He even warned me to keep away from her. Well, what do you think I ought to do?
Does Marie love you?
I don't know.
Well, you know, you can't find out without seeing her again, can you, Galahad?
But, I'm worried about Nick. I've been on a level with him all the way, and I'd hate
Nick
to...
Nick has no contract to interfere in your private life, nor in his sister's. Go on up to the farm and bring her back here for a few days. She can stay with me, and the two of you can get to know each other.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks a lot. I knew you'd come through. You know, if Marie and I can find the same happiness together that you and Nick have...
Excuse me now, will you, kid? I better do another number before the boss takes me off the payroll. Go ahead, kid. Go on up and get her. It's all right if you beat it now. You don't like nightclubs anyway.
Kid Galahad never realized how Fluff felt about him. But Marie knew the minute she met her. Something about a woman's intuition, I guess. Anyways, we say in the sports pages, Fluff was a game kid. She kept Nick out of the way so that the kid and Marie could have a lot of time with each other. It was a couple of nights later at Fluff's club that I first saw the lovebirds together, and afterwards I wish I hadn't, because I brought them nothing but trouble.
Sit down, honey. Fluff's in her dressing room. She'll join us in a minute.
That's fine, Ward. Funny, I never really expected to like her.
Well, that's because you were jealous. You know, that was the one thing I had to go on. I figured if you could be jealous, well, you must have liked me a little.
I never liked you a little.
You didn't?
No. I just plain fell in love with you the first time we met.
Well, I wish I'd known. I could have saved a lot of sleepless nights.
Well, there are so many things you don't know, Galahad, aren't there, Marie?
There certainly are.
Yeah? Like what?
Oh, you just wouldn't understand.
Well, hey, aren't you even going to ask me to sit down?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Here, have a chair.
We've so much to thank you for, Miss Phillips. I can't think where to begin.
Well, that's good. Then we can talk about plans for you two instead. You know, I think it's about time that we... Galahad, look out. Chuck McGraw.
On your feet, kid, yeller. Hey, fellas. You want to ask me when I was going to fight Galahad, huh? You want to quote your papers, don't you?
Cut it out, McGraw.
Yeah,
you're drunk.
Yeah.
Sorry to embarrass you, kids.
That's okay, Mr. McCarthy. A newspaper man can't always pick his company.
That's a crack, ain't it? Well, how about it, yeller? How much longer are you going to stall me?
I'll fight you whenever my manager says so.
That's a great dodge. But I ain't going to wait that long to get even. Hey, you photographers, get a shot of this.
Ward! Ward, are you hurt?
And get a shot of that, Kid Galahad. The ladies cry for him.
Oh, no. No, Max. Don't let them get a picture of Marie.
Fluff was too late. The boys did get a picture of Marie with the kid in her arms. It hit the front pages, the prize fighter and the convent girl. And Nick Donati hit the roof. That was the queerest thing, all though. On the surface, Nick took it calm, but as we found out later, underneath, he was arranging to pay off the kid in a vicious way.
Hiya, Silver.
Hello, kid.
Hi.
Hi, Nick.
Just dropped in to tell you the news. You fight McGraw for the championship next month.
Next month? I thought you wanted to hold off till next year.
I changed my mind.
Why, Nick? To pay me back for being in love with your sister?
Oh, forget that. I don't let personal feelings interfere with business, and this is strictly business. McGraw's been drinking like a fish. In 4 weeks, you'll be in top shape, and he'll still be drying out. You're going in slugging from the first round.
Yeah, but, Nick, we've been planning to outbox McGraw. He's got the weight. He's a slugger.
Yeah, you two guys are in a rut. The plans have changed, that's all. Now, look, kid, I ain't steered you wrong yet, have I?
No. No, you haven't, Nick.
Okay, then. Get back to work. I got to set the deal with Turkey Morgan.
I don't get it, Nick.
It ain't so complicated, Turkey.
You're sending the kid out slugging against McGraw. It's a sure way to lose.
That's right.
I also just learned you're betting your whole role undercover on McGraw to win.
So
I've been wondering. You're not just trying to lead me on, are you, Nick?
Look, Turkey, I'm dumping the kid, and the more your boy cracks him up, the better I'll like it.
Ah. Your sister, huh? Okay, Nick. Oh, there's just one thing. On your tip, I'm going to put $100,000 on McGraw. So you better not change your mind.
McGraw throws another right, two more. And now the kid is on the ropes, taking terrific punishment as the champ batters him with hard, crashing blows about the face.
The kid didn't have a chance that way. I saw Marie and Fluff sitting a few seats away from the press section. And then I saw Nick throw a look at Marie from the corner. Fluff caught the look at the same time, and I think that's when we both knew. Anyway, in another moment, she and Marie were in the corner. Marie was trying to talk to Nick.
Nicky, you can't do this to him just because we love each other.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, no, you don't, Nick. You've let that rotten temper throw you off the deep end. Selling out that kid's trust and faith in you. Tossing him to Morgan and those dirty wolves to satisfy a petty grudge. And what good do you think it's going to do you? Marie and the kid will always love each other. It took me a while to get it, too, but that's the way it is. They'll always love each other. And they've a right to. And we can't change it.
Please, Nick, please don't let him get hurt anymore.
Okay. Okay. He'll be all right now. Just let me talk to him. Hello, kid. How do you feel? Yeah, sure you will, because you're going to win, kid. We're changing tactics. McGraw shot his boat. Now, stay away from him and run him off his feet. Understand?
Yeah, I'm sure I understand.
Well, the fact that Galahad danced McGraw around the ring for three rounds and then knocked him cold to win the World Heavyweight Championship, that's old news by now. But the real payoff happened in the kid's dressing room after most of the crowd had left.
Well, how do you feel, champ?
Oh, grateful, Fluff. To you and Nick and Silver.
It's time you got under the showers and got dressed. Marie looks like she's getting a little impatient.
Nick, will you come with us, you and Fluff? For the wedding, I mean.
Well, we didn't think you meant the honeymoon.
Having a good laugh, Nick? Well, my name is Turkey Morgan, and I'm not laughing. All right, everybody, over against that wall.
Turkey, wait a minute.
Shut up.
Settle with me any way you want, but leave the kid and the girls out of it.
So they can put a tag on me? Not a chance. Keep your mouth shut. Come on in. Oh, hello, Mac. Close the door, will you?
Good day.
Okay. Now you can join the folks.
You know, Turkey, you forgot something.
I forgot nothing, you cheap double-crosser.
But you did. You forgot the first one.
Nick!
Mac! Get a doctor, quick.
Nick! Oh, Nick!
Never mind. How's Turkey?
Well, he's dead, Nick. But you're going to be all right.
Go on. He wasn't that bad a shot. Look, kid. With you and me, am I out of the doghouse?
Oh, sure, Nick. Sure you are.
It's good. I didn't want to go along with that on my mind.
Oh, Nick. Nick, you did one thing. You got yourself a champ.
And that's the story, folks. This is Jack McCarthy saying 30 for tonight.
Co-starred with Claire Trevor in tonight's presentation of Kid Galahad, will return to our microphone in just a moment. Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo and all the listeners to the Theater of Romance presentation of Kid Galahad say thanks to Wayne Morris, who's soon to start work at a new picture at the Warner Brothers lot. Thanks to Claire Trevor, who will soon be seen in RKO's newest Irving Reese picture, Crack Up. And for permission to broadcast Kid Galahad, our thanks, too, to Warner Brothers, producers of the new mystery thriller, Three Strangers. It's great to have you back, Wayne.
Well, thanks, Frank. It's great to be back. I've enjoyed my return to Hollywood Radio thanks to the Theater of Romance. I'd like to express my appreciation to Claire Trevor and all the others for appearing with me. Next week should provide a lot of interest for your regular listeners. Cradle Song sounds like a grand show, and in the starring part, you've certainly got a grand gal, Shirley Temple. Good night and good listening.
Bulletin for the Future. Next week, Charles Bandit's production of Theater of Romance, The Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo brings you the poignant love story, Cradle Song, starring Shirley Temple. On February 5th, we'll present one of Warner Brothers' greatest stars in one of his few and long-waited-for radio appearances, the swashbuckling star of the screen, Errol Flynn. On February 12th, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo proudly present on your Theater of Romance America's favorite, Alan Ladd. Keep a date to Theater of Romance for all the weeks to come. You'll always hear your favorite stars. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair. This is your host, Frank Graham, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, romance.
Ladies, when your grocer says no soap, it stems from a shortage of industrial fat. Secretary of Agriculture Anderson asked women to salvage all used fats so essentially needed for the manufacture of soap and other industrial uses. So if you want to speed up the supplies of soap, then speed up your fat salvage. Remember, too, fat is needed in the manufacture of nylons, textiles, electrical appliances, baby carriages, and scores of other peacetime products. Your butcher will pay you 4 cents a pound. Remember, where there's fat, there's soap, and other products you have done without for so long. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Theater of Romance, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 22nd, 1946 on CBS, bringing down the curtain on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levillier. It's been a pleasure.